Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. It is my prayer that you will join in each and every day with your questions, your comments, your dialogue, your discussion, your input, as one individual said, getting your 2 cents worth in. That's what this broadcast is about, to involve you, our listener, in the issues that we discuss each and every day. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion. But let me remind you, first of all, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies truth. He says, "I am truth," in John 14:6. Then he further identifies that in a broader sense, he says, "Thy word is truth." Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. And then he points out that the Word of God is the truth. It is the centrality of truth. It is the source book of truth. It is the direction for life and living as it should be in our lives each and every day. But truth is something that is not sought for. It is not viewed as being important today, especially in the halls of the House of the Senate, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And I can say that's probably true for our state houses in our states across America. And I can say that's probably true in most of our local city halls, but truth is no longer sought after. Truth is no longer viewed as being, as to be revered in the lives and the hearts of individuals. I find it fascinating that the secularist George Orwell, back in 1947, when he wrote the book 1984, pointing to what America would be like in 1984, he was right in most of his findings in that dystopian fictional novel that he had written. He was just off for a few years in his projection. One of the things he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be right on target with what we find taking place today. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and AOC and the other three and the Biden administration and all that that connotes are not interested in truth at all. That's the reason you see with the approximately 70 executive orders that's been signed thus far. Not one of them has a fundamental foundation on the truth of what's taking place and the need for those executive orders. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I've said before, and I'll say again, at the risk of redundancy, I believe there will come a day in America where as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we will literally be placing our life on the line to stand for the truth of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? It's not based on some ideological bent. It's not based on denominational dogma. Truth is not based on a political prowess. Truth is not based on what one feels. There are a lot of folks that says, well, you know, everybody can have their own truth. No, there's one truth. The centrality of truth, by the way, is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo, Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment and to answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag flowing, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, to find that flag at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Let me remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about peddling fear for control, peddling fear for control. We see that taking place today, and we'll talk about that during the introductory portion of the monologue. Then we're going to introduce our special guest today to discuss this and other aspects of what's taking place in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, I basically come to the conclusion we've got three major areas of fear that's being peddled and promoted in America today. Number one is COVID, you know, the COVID pandemic, COVID fear. Secondly is climate change. That's the climate fear. And thirdly is color fear. That's racism. There are three major aspects of the peddling of fear in America today. It is COVID, climate, and color. And we're watching them use the Marxist playbook, and we'll talk about the Marxist playbook later in the broadcast. They're using the Marxist playbook to bring about the fear so that in that fear there can be seed of discord and division for the overthrow of the United States of America, to make it a socialist, Marxist, communist nation. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is under attack. And the attack, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very real. You may not notice it. You may not recognize it. Some recognize that there's some strange things taking place. Most everybody on the sound of my voice and beyond, they recognize that there's somehow, some way, a control factor that we cannot put our fingers on directly. But I'm here to tell you, it is the cause, that is the demonic fear that's being promulgated, that is bringing about anxiety and discord and division in our great nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're told that the earth is on fire and we're going to soon die. That's what they're telling us with the fear-mongering about the climate change. And ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not the case at all. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says that. The earth is on fire. We're all going to die very soon, end quote. Dated April the 23rd, 2021. On Thursday, she testified before the Congress. Teenager environmentalist activist Greta Thunberg, 18 years old now, who reportedly has issued dire predictions for the planet, played psychologist for one of the Democratic congresswomen. The congresswoman who has three children asked the 18-year-old to advise her on how to deal with her 9-year-old daughter, who is so bewildered about the climate. The earth is on fire. We're all going to die very soon. Representative Katie Porter, Democrat of California, wouldn't expect any different, though, ladies and gentlemen, if I can tuck that in. The mother of three children, two teenage sons, and a 9-year-old daughter, asked Thunberg, quote, "I just want to ask you one question. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I have three kids. And I told my 9-year-old daughter that I was going to be speaking with you today. And she said, what do you think about climate change? And she said, the earth is on fire. We're all going to die very soon," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the seed of fear that's being sown today. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they have played the card of the pandemic with the fake, phony, false mask mandate, the lockdown mandate, now the push for the COVID vaccine. And they find that it's running out of steam, and they're finding they've got to go back and start the playbook of climate change and the climate control factor that will absolutely sow seed of discord and fear and bring about in that discord and fear, ladies and gentlemen, the continuation of what we find today that's happened as a result of the COVID fear. The COVID fear. This climate change, this climate fear is also one of the major, major factors that's being used today by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. This article says, climate is the new COVID, the public health policies allegedly in place to fight COVID-19 are being rebranded now to save our planet because of climate change. The article, in essence, says the narrative of deadly viral pandemic is slowly losing momentum. Whether this is true to the public having the post-visual, fragile ideas or a deliberate shift in media talking points is unclear. That said, it's also perfectly clear that governments around the world are in no mood to give up on their newly acquired emergency powers and that alleged anti-COVID measures are not going away very soon at all. Especially lockdowns, which are now being freshly marketed as being good for the planet and to save our planet, as at various times in the intervening year, COVID has been sold as having an environmental silver lining, including potentially saving planet Earth. Just last month, The Guardian published a story with this headline, "Global lockdown every 2 years is needed in order to meet the Paris CO2 goals, according to a study." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to set the stage for us to understand today that we're being played. We're being manipulated. They're peddling fear with every possible avenue, at every possible avenue, in order to bring us into submission and total control. But what is taking place, and multitudes that's listening today, you may not be aware of the fact that across the nation, we've had about 250,000 people. You heard me right. About 250,000 people. That's 250,000 plus people that have died as a result of the lockdown fear, as a result of the climate fear, as a result of the COVID fear, as a result of losing a job, as a result of losing their homes, their business, and as a result of a hopelessness, a helplessness, a sense of devastation, a sense of depression, a sense of discouragement. They've taken their own lives, either by drug overdose or by a weapon of some type. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot allow this to continue in a great nation that's called America. We're still told by Dr. Fauci, or should I call him Lord Fauci or Emperor Fauci or Comrade Fauci, we're still being told that we can't give up the mask yet. I'm thankful for states like Florida that's a free state. There's no mask mandate, but we're going to be talking about that later in this broadcast with our guest today about the so-called mask mandates being lifted, yet we have Gestapo businesses that will chase you out of the business if you don't have on a mask. We're going to be talking about that, along with some other things, some of them being the racist idea of what's happening in America. Are we a racist nation? Secondly, we'll be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, some of the things you may or may not have heard. It's not being talked about. There's not a squeak. Hear me. There's not a squeak on the Communist Network News or even some of those supposed partially conservative, i.e. Fox News. Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, is being said about the battleground states and some of the lawsuits and the court cases now to try to ascertain what really took place in the 2020 election with some of the false, fake, phony ballots that went in that gave Joe Biden his so-called landslide election. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing taking place today is the peddling of fear. And by the way, one of the major things there that I want us to understand when it comes to the mask, there's not one iota, not one evidence, not one scientific evidence that mask will prevent the COVID. But yet millions of citizens today have surrendered freedoms due to fear. They have believed what the false fake news says rather than faith in God. In fact, let me tuck this in just before I introduce our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that I find disconcerting for the Christian, and listen, I have a lot of confidence in Franklin Graham. I believe that he has been a stalwart when it comes to standing up for moral, ethical, theological issues in America today. But I understand that Franklin Graham is now advocating that pastors encourage their members to receive the COVID vaccination. Hear me, Franklin Graham, mouthpiece that heard globally, is now advocating that pastors encourage the church members to accept and receive the COVID vaccination. I'm saddened that he's taken this stand today, ladies and gentlemen. What is not being broadcast on the socialist Marxist news is that hundreds of thousands of injuries have taken place as a result of the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. Thousands of deaths, paralyzations, sterilizations, blood clots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as a result of that. And it's because of fear of COVID today that employers are even firing workers for not getting the vaccination. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll pick up the telephone and call 831-0917. Have some dialogue and discussion with us, our special guest today. I enjoy having Mike on the broadcast with us, Mike Hill, which is a former congressman in the Florida House, District 1 out of Pensacola. Congressman, I'm thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. Looking forward to this broadcast together. You're always very special to us as we have the privilege of having dialogue and discussion as to what's happening in America and what's happening globally. But you've heard my brief monologue. Tell our listeners what your thoughts are in relationship to what I've said. First of all, welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And as always, your monologue was spot on. This whole idea of using fear to control a population, the experiment that they started it with last year with this fake COVID pandemic, they discovered that it works, that they can use fear to control a population, not only in the United States, but around the world. What's interesting, though, Dr. Youngblood, is fear is not a normal human emotion. Mm-hmm. The Bible calls it a spirit. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right,
but of power, love, and a sound mind. So fear is a spirit. It is an evil spirit. It comes from Satan himself. And it comes as a result of sin. We saw Dr. Youngblood back in Genesis in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. They hid themselves.
Yes.
And God asked them, "Where are you?" And Adam responded, "We heard your voice and were afraid."
Yes.
Fear. Fear comes from sin. It comes from the devil. It is not a normal human emotion. It is a spirit. The good news about it being a spirit is that as Christians, we have authority over a spirit. We can speak to it and command it and tell it to leave. So as Christians, we don't have to walk around in fear of COVID, of climate change, or anything else that they want to throw at us in order to control us.
Absolutely. Congressman, hang on for just a minute. I believe we have Chandler on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, thank you for having me, Dr. Youngblood. I'm a 30-year-old male here in America, and I live in Florida, and the mask pandemic is super crazy here. Like you were talking about earlier, they will kick you out. They will I've had people even, physically come toward me to tell me, hey, you need to put your mask on. They're very serious about it here. And so what I was calling to say was I feel that this is just a priming to get the people to be okay with accepting some sort of physical implementation in someone's life, so that once we're desensitized to having this physical, either the vaccine or the mask, once we've been desensitized to having that, then from there they'll introduce the next step, which would be the mark. And so basically I feel like they're just experimenting with us to see how many people are actually going to be willing to accept the mask and accept the vaccines to see how many people they could actually get to take the mark, which would be the next step. So I think that's where they're going with this.
Yes. Well, Chandler, you're exactly right. Let me say this, and then I'll let our congressman have his input on what you've just said. I believe with the mask that we've had now mandated for the past year and a half, approximately, and with now the pushing of the COVID pass and the scare, the fright of climate change, and the fear and the fright that's being generated by the so-called systemic racism, I believe that it's simply bringing the people into submission, and that submission is nothing less than conditioning the whole society to accept the advent of that which will be in the future that will fulfill biblical prophecy, especially in Revelation chapter 13 with the mark of the beast. Congressman, what do you say in response to Chandler's statements?
Well, it certainly looks like that the groundwork is being laid for taking the mark of the beast, just like Chandler said. And what we are seeing right now is an attempt to control the population, to set them up for wanting to accept eventually what would be the mark of the beast. I would say one thing that is encouraging, at least to me, Dr. Youngblood, is that They are saying millions of people, I think I heard a number, 9 million of those who received the first vaccination have not taken the second one, that they are backing away. Now, they might be backing away out of fear because of what they are hearing is happening to those who have taken the vaccinations. As you mentioned, the blood clots, the severe reactions, even death. We are finding with this COVID vaccination, since it started, more people have died from it than all other vaccinations in the past 13 years together.
Yes. Yes.
So this is a very dangerous vaccination. I for one, am not going to get it.
Yes.
I, for one, do not wear a mask. I own a small business.
Yes.
I do not require any of my employees to wear masks, and they don't. None of my employees have taken the vaccination. It's their choice if they want to or not, but none have. And any customers who come into my establishment are not required to wear masks.
Chandler, does that answer your question very briefly?
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, that kind of answered it a little bit. I was going to say that, you know, Scripture tells us all the time not to fear, just like the quote that you gave earlier, as well as look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry about what they're going to wear or anything like that. So again, the climate change is also just another fear tactic, just like the mask is. I don't think there's anything that God hasn't already thought of. If climate change was actually an issue, then God's already handled that.
That's the read.
Something for us to worry about.
You're exactly right, Chandler. Thank you so much for your call, and I pray that you'll be blessed today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about peddling fear to control Americans. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former congressman of District 1 in the state of Florida, representative there, as a Republican conservative, Christian conservative Republican, and I'm thankful for it in that order. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, and thank you, Congressman, for joining us. I have a question for you. What do you know about, and has the state of Florida taken action on convention of the states? And I'm just interested to know your thoughts on that, taking power back from the federal government.
Yes, thank you for your call, Congressman. How do you respond to that?
Yes, the convention of the states is based on our Constitution, Article 5 in the Constitution, as a way of states amending the Constitution. Our Constitution can be amended one of two ways right now. First, the Congress can amend the Constitution and then to the states for ratification. Well, the other way of doing it, it's in Article 5 of our Constitution, says that the states are able to amend our Constitution once 3/4 of the states call for a convention of states to ratify, to amend our Constitution, and then it also must be ratified after that by 3/5 of the states. Right now, Florida has said that they are one of those states that would participate in the convention of states. An Article 5 convention in order to amend our Constitution. As I understand it, right now the number is somewhere in the 20s of the number of states who said that they would participate. They have
That's
to get
correct.
To 34.
That's correct.
Yeah, they
one
have
of
to
the
get
things.
To, yes.
One
Go
of
ahead,
the things, Congressman. While we're on that subject, the House, you know, just voted to make D.C. the 51st state. Can they do that legally? Is it unconstitutional? And how does Article 5 fit into what they're doing or have not done?
Yes, the House voting to make D.C. a state is definitely unconstitutional. It goes against our Constitution, which intentionally our founding fathers, when you read their journals, why they wanted D.C. to not become a state is because that is the center of power. That is where Congress meets, and that's where the Supreme Court, the executive branch, that's where they all meet. And they did not want them to be unduly influenced by one particular state. So that's why they said D.C. was not to become a state, and it's in our Constitution. It is sheer ignorance, and it's also sheer arrogance that the Democrats in the House would go ahead and press forward anyway, knowingly violating our Constitution. Hopefully on the Senate side, some common sense will prevail, and they will not pass it, thereby killing the whole idea. And if it goes that far, we know that Joe Biden will sign it because they look at D.C. as an attempt to gain more power. There would be a Democrat-controlled state, so they would have two more Democrat senators. So it is a power grab attempt. And then hopefully it'll be, if it goes that far, let's say hopefully it won't, but if it goes that far, then it should be challenged and taken to the Supreme Court. My concern there is who knows what the Supreme Court will do. They don't always do what everyone knows is the right thing to do. That they'll either dismiss it or tie themselves in a pretzel to try and come up with some logic to approve it. So hopefully it will be shut down here by the Senate not passing that ridiculous unconstitutional move to make D.C. a state.
Yes, Congressman. In fact, it was a number of years ago, the Heritage Foundation did a major research and produced a what they called a white paper on that. And I'm looking at a blurb of that. It says, why D.C. statehood needs constitutional amendment. And it goes in to talk about the great detail of it. It's a partisan matter that they're trying to do this. But the district was created, the District of Columbia, created in 1790. From 10 square miles, it was given to the federal government by Maryland and Virginia for the purpose of having, basically, if you call it, that's my term, an island to itself that is not controlled by any state requirements and simply has the autonomous position of having the seat of government from the federal government there without the entanglement of statehood. And it would be totally against the Constitution, as you've said so clearly. And Article 5 would need to be put into place where the states come together in a constitutional convention to determine if they want to change it. And you're exactly right. It would take 34 states to agree to that to ever have a meeting. And then it would take the majority of those states, a supermajority, to vote on an issue for it to become a constitutional change. And so as we're watching, it's simply, as you said, a power play that is taking place to be in total control. And the major thing that they're trying to do, as I see it, is to continue with things on a fast track. I don't know if our listeners are aware of it or not, but I understand that some of the research that I've done, there's over 2,100 different bills that's jangling, my term, jangling around, rumbling around in the U.S. House today, trying to push through as much as they can, whether it's legal or illegal, whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional, in order to fast-track those things while they're keeping the general public distracted by fear, fear of COVID, fear of the COVID, future COVID pass, fear of climate change. But as I said just a moment ago, Congressman, I believe all of this is being done for the bringing the people into submission, for the conditioning of our society, for all of the future things that's going to take place. But the COVID control and the climate change are just simply fear factors that's being used today to control our nation, bring us into submission. Congressman, got about 45 seconds before our top of the hour news break. What comments do you have to make in relationship to where we are and what is taking place with these fear factors and the approach that we should see it as?
Yes, our founding fathers wanted their best to try and make sure that we did not get to the situation where we are now, where one party is in control of all three branches of government, that what we instead wanted to have was a separation of powers. And the yes. reason we wanted to have that was so that they cannot do what we see before our very eyes right now, Dr. Youngblood, and that is to have power concentrated in one place, in one locale, to be able to control the entire population, to be able to control these United States, which, by the way, they constitutionally cannot do because the 10th Amendment said the power belongs to the states and to the people, not yes. to the federal government.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there for about 1 minute, top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.